Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great show. Today, we're going to bring you a bit of a different show. Of course, Monday was Labor Day. That's our typical day that we record the podcast. I didn't want to leave you hanging without shows this week, so we opened up the phone lines on Sunday night and took your calls live and talked about lots of fun Disney topics. We talked some Galaxy's Edge. We had somebody to call in that didn't have the best experience with Smuggler's Run. Then we had another caller who came in and talked about how awesome it was. So I love that. We got to talk about the land, Batuu, the character experiences you're going to have over there. We gave some dining experience. We were trying to decide on some ADRs for guests. And, you know, we talked about the ultimate Christmas package, Walt Disney World Resorts. It's a fun show. So if you like a lot of topics within 45 minutes, today is the show for you. So thanks to everybody who called and made this show awesome for us. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to set out on that next Disney adventure, drop by themagicforless.com. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best, for not only booking a ton of travel over the past decade and more, but also the amount of great reviews they get from their guests. The guests love their agents. The agents work hard for every guest. And that's really what it's all about. It's about having great trips at the lowest cost possible. So drop by themagicforless.com today. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right, let's get to the live show. We had a lot of fun taking your call. So here we go. The live Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1534 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you and happy Sunday night to everybody who is tuned in live here on Facebook as we are going to spend the next 45 minutes or so taking your calls. So much to talk about. I'm flying solo. You're the co-host today. So you're going to give me the calls at 407-413-9395. That's 407-413-WDW5. And we'll talk about anything that is on your mind. We've got a lot to talk about this week. All the D23 announcements, lots of changes coming to Epcot and around the resort as well. We could also talk about after-hours events. Those have been extended into the wintertime. We have Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party going on. We have, let's see here, Epcot's Food and Wine Festival is underway. I can't believe all this stuff's already happening. Plus, we have the hurricane situation, which hopefully by the time this show airs on the feed has passed us by, and it was, you know, best case scenario. But as we're recording on Sunday night, still a lot of stuff up in the air. So we're going to open up the phone lines right now at 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. Get in on the show and help me co-host here tonight. And we're going to be talking about all of the stuff that is happening down at Walt Disney World and getting your feedback on those things as well. So one of the things we could talk about are all the changes coming to Epcot. So I'm kind of curious about what you think when it comes to the announced changes a couple of weekends ago at D23 for Epcot. No more Future World. How do you feel about that? No more Future World. We're going to have neighborhoods now. So you're basically going to have four neighborhoods in the entire park. World Showcase will be one. Future World itself will become three distinct neighborhoods, which Matt Parrish called Disney Mandering, kind of changing things up where things are going to be within the park. I'm excited for that. I think that, you know, as much as I hate to see Epcot change from what it was in the, you know, in the infancy of the park, I think that it's going to be exciting. We're going to get a lot of stuff that's going to be exciting, and I'm excited to see where the Imagineers go with that. So let's get to our first call and see what we want to talk about tonight. Hey, who's joining me?
Hi, Mike. This is Shelly from Texas.
Hey, Shelly. How's it going? Thanks for calling in.
Hey. Well, I just returned yesterday from a week-long trip at Disney.
Okay. Mini trip report time. That's why we're here. Tell us about it, because it's interesting times down at Walt Disney World right now.
Very interesting. I'm an AP holder, so I get to go down at least 2 to 3 times a year. So had to call in about Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, let me know. I get to go at the end of this month, so tell me about it.
Well, I was a lucky person, and we actually had a group of 30 that did a VIP tour Thursday. So got to go in, didn't have to wait in that, when I was there, 180 minute wait. Got to be an engineer. I guess I'm kind of siding with Ricky. I wasn't totally impressed.
Really?
Sorry to say that. Well, of course, was with the pilots. One sat and videoed the whole thing.
That's not cool. I could see the temptation in doing that because, you know, I hate to say it because I'm guilty of this myself, but it's almost we're in that situation where if there's not a picture, it didn't happen kind of thing, and video's even better.
So I think that all the other of us kind of spent the time yelling at them, hurry up, push the button, turn the lever.
We got to go to light speed. Focus.
So, and then, you know, as an engineer, you got to fix the mistakes of the pilots, and then the gunners, you're kind of looking off to the side. I think Ricky kind of said that same thing. You kind of have to look off the side to hit your button, so you're kind of missing what's going on the screen. Yes, it was cool. It was very cool. But it was still, that's about all I can say about it.
I kind of picture the cockpit the way people are describing it. And I've seen pictures. I've been trying to avoid as many spoilers as possible, but I have seen a lot. And I'm probably older than you. I'm older than most of our listeners, it feels like, nowadays. But do you remember the movie Airplane?
I'm your age.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm just saying. So I can just see like the cockpit being like the cockpit in Airplane where you have like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back there facing sideways. He's the navigator kind of taking care of things. Over, under, roger, roger. What's your vector, Victor? So yeah, it's going to be a mess when I'm up in there because, you know, I'm all about having fun. You know, I do want to get where I'm supposed to go, but let's have fun.
Yeah. Well, it was packed opening day Thursday, went back Friday because I kept seeing that the wait was only like 85, 90 minutes. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll go back and get to take some pictures. I didn't ride again, but definitely got to explore a lot more Friday. And it's very neat. They did a good job on it. But I did ask our VIP guide, and he said, too, the same thing. He said it's about 15 degrees hotter down in there than the rest of the park because of all the walls around it. And it was definitely hot. But by Friday, they had put up a ton of fans, so that helped a lot. So,
Now, did you bring home a thermal detonator or, as other people call it, a Coke bottle?
No, I did not. Wasn't paying $6 for that, basically.
Oh, man, I'm totally paying $6 for one now that they've well, but, you know, they said at first you can't bring them back on an airplane. Then they changed their mind. Now you can, I think. That's the latest I heard. So if I can bring it back without getting, you know, frisked down at Orlando International, I want to have one of those for the shelf.
Yes. And you get all three and a water bottle. So if you want it all.
Oh, well, I didn't say I'm going crazy. I'm just going to buy. I'm kind of cheap still. I'm going to buy one. I don't need the whole selection.
Yeah, but I did get to walk into the Droid Depot. You can at least walk in there, and they do have it kind of fenced off where the people that have the reservations to build. But that was cool. It was all very neat, very neat. So they did a good job.
Let me ask you this outside of Galaxy's Edge, you know, with the hurricane pending, because I've been there during a hurricane way back in 2004. It was, you know, the hurricane actually at the last minute shifted. And it was supposed to hit Tampa, and it missed Tampa, came right over the peninsula and went right over Walt Disney World. And so it was kind of crazy because nobody was expecting it. This one is huge. It's massive, and it's just more powerful than most people can imagine. But at the time we're recording here on Sunday night, it looks like it may stay off the coast a little bit, so Orlando wouldn't be in the direct line. But what's the feeling? I'm sure it's kind of uneasy down there. I mean, were people – what was the feel like down there this week?
Well, you could definitely see where construction areas, you know, they'd rolled the tarps up and had moved, you know, pulled that up. They had pulled some umbrellas up. I did kind of a split stay. At that time, I was at All Star Movies. They hadn't done a lot there. But at Animal Kingdom and Epcot, where they'd done some construction. You could see they'd changed the walls. Thursday, I did actually all four parks in one day. And then I did all four parks again in one day on Friday. You could definitely tell between Friday and Thursday, the crowds are getting lighter. I actually left late Saturday evening. I had a 6 o'clock flight, and did a little bit in Magic Kingdom. That was definitely lighter. So as each day went, it got lighter and lighter, for sure, park crowds. I'm from the coast of Texas. I was direct hit 2 years ago with Harvey. And my husband kept saying, come on home. I said, but you know how hurricanes can change. Yeah. I went in a big hurry to get home, but, you know, but yes, you could definitely tell a difference, and you could see some of the changes they had been preparing there in the park.
And so you have experience with hurricanes, so you know, you obviously have the perspective of they move slow, they're very unpredictable, and you just don't know. But, you know, like I've been working with a lot of guests this past week, and it is so hard because so many guests are, you know, this is their trip they've laid out for 18 months. You know, they have the perfect ADRs. Yep. They have their fast passes, yep. You know, and they've been talking up getting to go into Galaxy's Edge over Labor Day weekend and all that. And it is kind of heartbreaking, yep. You know, because it's so hard to make that call because you can't wait till the last minute. You got airplane tickets and everything else. And I mean, you know, my father-in-law always says I should be a weather forecaster because you don't have to be right. You know, and I understand that nobody can do this. It's nature and it's fluid, yeah. But I mean, it's so hard for people. That's why for me, this has been a really tough week just because there is no right or wrong answer. Sure. You know, you're either going to be very conservative and just call it off, push it back, or roll the dice. But I mean, you know, and I think the people who rolled the dice ended up winning this time as of right now, but who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, where else would you rather be stuck in a hurricane?
True. True that. Yeah. Actually, my buddy Scott, he was surprising his family. They were going to, because he doesn't have any more days off work this year. So he was flying down Friday night to Orlando, and they were going to fly back Monday night. So they didn't have to miss any days of work, surprising their daughter. And he texted me and I said, dude, you be careful. Because I said, you'll get down there Friday night, but I don't know that you're going to get out Monday night. This was about 4 or 5 days ago. And so he made an audible. Now he's at Disneyland this weekend. So they went to the West Coast. They went to a Disney park. They just went to California.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, and I know they had MCO was supposedly closed on Monday. Now it's open. So
that's good.
You just never know. Yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate the call, and glad you have fun in Galaxy's Edge, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right, have a good one.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's a great call there. 407-413-9395. First-hand perspective of Galaxy's Edge. She said it was hot in there, which I didn't think about that. But I guess if you have two sons, maybe it's twice as hot. I don't know. If you have any thoughts on the hurricane that is happening in Florida when it comes to your Walt Disney World trip, maybe you had to make the call to postpone or cancel. Forgot to turn down the volume, but hey, we have our next call. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, this is Chelsea from Cookeville, Tennessee.
Hey, Chelsea, you sound like you're from New York City. No, just kidding.
I'm not. I'm from the South, and let me tell you, I'm so disappointed in my ball.
Oh, don't. We cannot talk college football because I'm starting to. I didn't sleep last night, and I have a cowboy hat that I had to destroy because we lost to the Wyoming Cowboys. So never mind. Let's talk Disney. I can't talk football until next Saturday. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, we are going with all three of my kids for the first time in May, and they are going to be 6, 4, and 2. And I was just kind of wondering what you think was the best character meals for little ones. We'll probably go at breakfast, just to give you kind of an idea where we're going.
6, 4, and 2, but that's you're going to have your hands full. That's
well,
great.
We're taking grandparents and aunts, so we have extra help.
You are so smart. I'm going to say, wrangling them on your own, that's okay. No. Okay, so we're going to throw this out to the chat room, but here's my suggestion. So I like Garden Grill over at The Land at Epcot. Have you ever been there?
We have not been there.
Oh, it's good. It's got Chippendale. It's got really good. And to me, it's... You're a Southern girl, sounds like, and I like Southern food. I like to consider myself kind of a Southern type guy as far as when it comes to like dining. I don't like stuff super fancy, and the food over at Garden Grill is amazing. The restaurant rotates slowly. You have Mickey and Chippendale And I think Pluto comes around. So that one's a lot of fun. It's relatively decently priced. All these character meals are expensive. You also have over at Epcot the Akershus princess meal for breakfast. That one's pretty good. Are they boys or girls, or do they like princesses?
I have two girls and one boy, so we'll kind of have to do a little bit of both.
I'll say he might have to suck it up, and it's not too bad, I'll tell you that, because there's all the princesses come by and give the little boys a kiss, so he may or may not like
that. Well, he's a ladies' man, so he would definitely like that.
I'll say some of the boys like all that attention. No, that's a good one. It's a lot cheaper than Cinderella's Royal Table. I think it's a better value. It's a better experience. Tusker House is a good one over in Animal Kingdom in the back. I like that one. And the chat room's coming up with 1900 Park Fair. That one's at the Grand Floridian. It's a little bit pricey. It's got this, for breakfast, I think it's got Alice in Wonderland characters. Lunch and dinner, I think it's the stepsisters, as I recall. And then you got Chef Mickey's. Now, I don't know. Chef Mickey's is kind of that, to me, like, my heart stopped when I got the bill last time I was there. I was like, oh. I haven't been back like in 5 years because the bill was so expensive for breakfast. But you do get Mickey, you get the Fab Five. So you get Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and I think Pluto. So you could knock out the major characters all at once, have a really good breakfast. The breakfast is fine. It's nothing special. It's nothing exotic, but it's right there in the Contemporary, and you could pair that with the day in the Magic Kingdom. So those are some options. What are the kids like? What do you think the kids would lean towards as far as characters?
Well, we definitely have to go to a princess meal because my 6-year-old is a girl and she loves princesses. And we'll definitely have to go to one where Mickey's at because my little boy is all about Mickey. My 2-year-old really couldn't care either way. So I was thinking about Tusker House. That's the one I've really heard a lot of good things about.
It is.
Definitely are leaning toward Tusker House.
Tusker House is not, one thing, it's easy to get an ADR because a lot of people just kind of they don't think about it because A, I think it's an Animal Kingdom, and B, it's kind of in the back of the park. It does have Mickey, so you got that. It has the basic stuff on the buffet, but it also has a few things that are kind of a little bit outside the box, which are really good. So Tusker House is a hidden gem. I would definitely give that a try.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all the advice. I listen to you guys all the time, and thank you all for all you all do for us listeners.
Well, hey, I appreciate it, and let's hope our Vols and my Tigers turn it around. And you guys come up to Columbia this year, so we'll see you in a couple months. Or actually, yeah, in October. Well, we'll see you here.
Yeah, well, it can only get better. I don't know how it can get worse.
It will. We'll just cross our fingers. All right, well, hey, you guys have a great trip. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope to talk to you soon.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And Crystal Palace also getting a lot of love in the live chat. So there you go. Crystal Palace is a good one. It's a little bit expensive, and I'm not into the Winnie the Pooh characters too much, but I know people love Crystal Palace. Ricky, that's one of Ricky's favorites. And again, I won't say anything. Ricky is at Six Flags in St. Louis and not at my house. All right. We have our next caller on the line. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, it's Eric from Connecticut, and I'm calling basically to stand up a little bit for the Millennium Falcon ride.
Okay, here
we
go.
I'm hearing some mixed reviews from all of you, and I thought it was great. I thought it was a wonderful ride. And the key to it is I kind of think it's the Land's D-ticket attraction. If you're going in there thinking that this is the E-ticket, this is the end-all and be-all, their E-ticket is going to be Rise of the Resistance.
Correct.
If you're going thinking that you're going to be on the Millennium Falcon, it's kind of a simulator, like everyone says, like Star Tours. But the piloting, which is tricky at first, is really a lot of fun. If you're not sure what to do, be the pilot. You get to hit the warp speed button on that one. You get to angle the trip. It's not as intuitive as you think, but it's a fun ride, and I think you all are sleeping on it a little bit. I don't want to oversell it.
Now, see,
if I oversell it, I think.
I don't have an opinion yet because I haven't got to experience it. I kind of deferred my trip until I'm going down at the end of this month to see the last Illuminations, first Epcot Forever, and I'm going to go into the Land at that point to check it out. Ricky's a very, very casual Star Wars fan, and she's very honest. I mean, if she doesn't think something's awesome, she won't say it is.
Your
perspective is 100% correct. It's not meant to be the big attraction in Batuu. That's Rise of the Resistance. And I think all things considered, when they drew up the plans, I think both were supposed to open at the same time, and it didn't happen.
One of the things that I think adds to the ride is actually the data pad. I wasn't a big fan of the DataPad app, which is part of the, what's it called at Epcot, the Disney Play.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a big fan of the DataPad in the land. It didn't do enough for me. But in the ride, it kind of builds to you meeting Hondo for the first time. And then after you get off, it's very cool to see the points that you get transferred into your account. The points really mean nothing, but it's the money, I mean, the credits. But it's kind of a neat little addition, and it helps the ride quite a bit. The other thing is, if you do your best to get into character yourself, if you're the type of person who, like, is going to play up being the pilot or play up being the gunner with the crew, that's a lot of fun, and that makes the ride a lot better as well.
See, here's the thing I'm wondering, though, because you mentioned, like, it's really cool being the pilot, and I, you know, Ricky was the pilot, and I think she enjoyed it because of that more than being the engineer. But these positions are randomly assigned, aren't they?
No, you can hand off to anybody in your group.
Oh, okay, so if you're with a group of your own friends. Okay, I got you.
And what they'll do is they will hand the cards to you. And you can say, I don't want to be the engineer. And I'll be honest, the engineer is the worst job on it. If you don't want to do a lot, go ahead and be the engineer. All it's do is Hondo says, shoot the cables, and you hit the button to shoot the cables. And really, that's about it. But the pilot is probably the most fun. And it's also the one that you have the most to do at. Next, and it's also moving back in the cockpit. Next would be the gunner. And you have two options as a gunner. You can use auto aiming, where it will lock on to the TIE fighters automatically, or you can try to aim using the buttons. So there's kind of two levels of that, depending on how interactive you want to be and how into it you are at the gaming. And then the engineer sits towards the rear. And basically what they do is they fire some cables to get the shipment that you're trying to get. The timing isn't like, if you don't time it perfectly, you're not going to miss on the first one. The first one almost always hits. Then there's a second thing that you can catch. And then there's even a third thing if you get that far. But you have to have a really good pilot and really good gunners to get there.
Interesting.
I'm making it sound so much like a game, but you can also just, like, kick back and enjoy the ride. Because if you like that kind of simulator experience, it's a really, really good one. But, you know, don't go in expecting that it's the e-ticket. And I think the length of the lines, which were like hours and hours, when I was out in Disneyland, we got there right in the morning. It was a 10 to 20 minute wait. And that seemed about right, a little quick. But when you're in the lines for 45 minutes, which... There's not a lot to see. Well, there's a lot to see, but after a while, when you're in the same scene for about 30 minutes, it gets boring. The data pad really helps by introducing you to Hondo, introducing you to what you're supposed to be doing and what his whole deal is as a smuggler. And it introduces you to things like the Millennium Falcon and what the things on the back of it are, all of those things up top. It tells you what each little thing on the roof of the ship is. And then there's another part where you have to get a QR code and scan boxes. And you learn what's being shipped from the depot. There's another part where you can use it to translate the language that's there. And it kind of makes it a lot more immersive.
Yeah, it sounds like, they want to keep you with that level of depth when it comes to an experience like that. That helps you stay, I would imagine, in the land for the hardcore. You know, for the casual fan, they're going to do the ride, get in, get out, but
right.
That gives you time to come back or maybe to stay and never leave.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that is, you know, you don't have to do it forever. Like, I did a couple of boxes, or if I saw something that was interesting laying on a table, I translated it, and that was it. I probably did it, like, three times when I was at the translation part of it. But it was just kind of a cool time killer to make it seem a little more in-depth and give the ride a little more detail. You don't have to do that at all. Just go into it with the right expectations. It's their D ticket. It's their number two ride.
Absolutely.
It's a simulator.
That's a good
point.
And
if you want to really dive into it, you can do that.
That's
if you are the big Star Wars fan, go for it.
That's a great perspective. I mean, because I think anybody that's the big Star Wars fan like I am, you know, I don't picture myself. I haven't pictured myself for 40 years going in to be the engineer. You know, like I never pictured myself sitting in the cockpit of the Falcon, you know, on the side, you know, trying to catch
Chewie's the engineer.
Exactly.
Let them do it.
Well, I mean, but I mean, everybody wants to sit in Chewie's seat and jump to light speed. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what you've been doing in your mind's eye for 40 years. So that's what
or
I want
to do.
Or
you've been the gunner.
Yeah. Or the gunner. Yeah. Like, and, yeah, with like Luke or somebody. Yeah.
The gunner is a little bit disappointed. I wanted to be in that little thing that swings around that Luke is in and as we shoot at the TIE fighters. But I see why you can't really do that in a theme park ride.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of fun, and the entrance, the holding room is really awesome too. They have the chessboard there. They have all the little details and wires there. And if you want to get into character, which a hardcore Star Wars fan will, and you're flying it, you can be flying the ship and just shout, "He's on the right, he's on the right." And it just really brings you in.
That's
you know
awesome.
What I mean?
Yep. Let me ask you one other thing before I let you get out of here, because we're only going to be here for 45 minutes on as many calls as I can. But
sure.
One of the things I'm seeing on social media that really has me excited that I wasn't thinking about are the characters walking around the land. You know, like I've seen pictures of Rey working on like an X-Wing fighter, you know, trying to solve a problem, or just walking around Chewie, like kind of leading guests, like sneaking around the land. Is that stuff really happening as frequently as I'm guessing?
It is really happening. Like any character, you have to hit it at the right time. They're not out there all the time. But you'll be walking around and on the dark side, but on the First Order side, you will see Star Wars characters. You will see stormtroopers patrolling. You will see a character, I forgot her name, but she's dressed in almost a TIE fighter outfit. And she's a member of the Resistance. She's kind of like a spy. And if you do use the data pad to get yourself in with the Resistance, she'll be much more open to talking to you. But if you're on the dark side, she's going to be very suspicious of you.
Oh, I love
if you show her what you have there. And we got there and we had a nice conversation about one of the little details. There's this tree with a bunch of little cloth on it. And we sat there and we talked about the tree, and she told us all about the lore of the tree and what they're supposed to mean. So you could certainly walk up to her and say hi. You can ask her to pose for a picture, and she was like, well, she was going to do it anyway because it's still a Disney character. But she was kind of going, well, I guess I, and she kind of demurred, and then I'm like, okay, let's make it a little more fun. So I pulled out the data pad, and I showed her within the Resistance. She goes, okay, we can do this quickly. And we sat down and we took a picture by the tree. And it was kind of like a different experience depending on how immersive you want to get with it.
That's cool. I just hope
Rey
was
walking around.
I hope this stuff stays.
Was walking around, yeah.
But I hope this stuff like stays going a year from now. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, the land's brand new. It's hot. I hope it's sustainable, because I think that's the magic. Like you're talking about this, I just can't stop smiling. That's awesome.
I think in California, it's going to be a lot more sustainable. California does the walk around characters a lot more because it's always 72 degrees and sunny. But if you're going in the middle of August and there's this, I'll break the magic here for a second. Is that okay? This poor guy dresses Chewbacca walking around for an hour. He's going to die in that suit.
Yeah, true.
So they might not do Chewbacca, but I see no reason why they wouldn't keep some of the interactive characters out there. I never did see Kylo, but the rest of them were fantastic.
I'd imagine too, in LA, you got a wealth of people who are just dying to be Rey, you know, like being so close to Hollywood. I'm sure you got lots of folks that would like to be actors. Even I'm sure that's true in Florida too. I mean, there's a lot of performers down there.
Yeah. The Instagram culture was definitely alive out there.
I can imagine.
I'll leave it at that.
Hey, well, thank you so much for giving us that perspective. That means a lot, and it really does add to the show. And I can't wait. I get to go down in about 4 weeks, and that's gonna help me have a better experience. So really, thank you so much for calling in today.
Have a blast.
You too. Enjoy. Thank you so much. You have a good night.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. I want to hear from you. We have about 20 more minutes or so talking Disney here on a Friday on the podcast feed and on a Sunday night as we record live here on Facebook. And sorry to Jenny Lee down in Australia. We're giving a couple of spoilers, not trying to. I don't think we're giving away anything that's going to make your trip any worse. Hopefully these things will make your trip better. That's the goal. All right, next caller is on the line. Who's joining us?
Hey, Mike, it's Will from Buffalo.
Hey, Will from Buffalo. How's it going tonight?
It's going great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. We're all 3-day weekend. Can't argue with that.
Nope. No, we can't. That's awesome.
So what are we talking about?
So my wife, and Disney is very sneaky, has recently sent her an email about that ultimate Christmas package. And I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think, because it's a little pricey. I mean, it seems like you get some good value and some kind of VIP experiences, but I just don't know.
So let me pull this up. It's called the Ultimate Disney Christmas Package, because I know most of the stuff, but as soon as I start talking about it, I will misstate it. So what it is, basically, it's a package where it's only for a specific set of dates. So the dates, you can't change it. You have to check in on the 21st. You got to check out on the 26th of December. And you're going to get basically, you know, normal price for your hotel and tickets. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get basically like credentialed for certain events. So here's some of the, they call them Yuletide offerings, just for our audience. You know, because you've probably been researching it. But for those people that are listening, you know, today, if you want to do this, it says you get exclusive nighttime access to ride Avatar Flight of Passage, Navi River Journey, Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom. Plus, you get to see an exclusive showing of Rivers of Light. We Are One show. That's on December 21st, so you do that night. The next night, you get tickets to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, the Magic Kingdom, so that's kind of cool. The next night on the 23rd or the 24th, you get to pick. You get one of those two nights. You get to an exclusive reserve viewing to watch Epcot Forever, the new nighttime spectacular. Plus, everybody gets, each guest age 3 and up will receive a $50 Epcot theme park dine promo card to be used at Epcot. So you get a $50 credit to use. And then on the 25th, Christmas Day, it says you get a gift delivered to your hotel room. So, yeah, you know, the thing is, here's how I look at it. If you were going to do all of those things, like say you were going to go down and you were going to go to the Christmas party. Okay, that makes sense. You're getting a ticket. If you wanted to, you know, do say like a preferred seating for Epcot Forever, that's included. It's hard to say, like, if you want to have that exclusive feel and be locked in to having these, you know, this itinerary of the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th, you're going to have like something to look forward to every night for those 4 or 5 nights. I would totally go for it, but it doesn't have the flexibility of kind of a build your own where, you know, you could go down on the 19th, check out on the 23rd and, you know, build your own with tickets to the party, you know, one of those nights. And maybe you don't want to go see Epcot Forever. You want to go to the studios because there's nothing in here about going to see Galaxy's Edge. You know, you would have to do that during the day or something. So it's one of those things. I mean, I think it's cool because a lot of folks want to experience some of the best parts of Walt Disney World during the holidays. This gives you a chance, but it's very rigid. It's not very flexible.
Yeah, and the thing I was looking at too is they still actually have hotels available for the like free dining during that date. So the only thing that doesn't include is food either. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to add that expense, but you could still do free dining. And I think before a Christmas party, you come out right at the same price. So
yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's not really, this isn't like a package to save you money. It's a package of convenience. You know, they want to, I mean, I always look at things from like the guest perspective and why Disney's doing it. Disney wants to obviously, you know, build those tickets in for the, they're selling a lot of tickets to the Christmas party on the 22nd because it's built into the package. So I would imagine that Christmas party is going to be really busy because it's right before Christmas anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's like probably the last party as I'm looking at the calendar because it's the 22nd of December. It'd probably be a busy one. I don't know. You're right. I mean, if you get on free dining, definitely you're going to come out ahead if you can find, you know, a hotel and dates that work. That's filling up pretty quickly. But yeah, if you could get that, because you can add a dining plan to this package, but of course it's going to be at standard rates.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what makes it tough is we've been lucky in doing the bounce backs every time and getting free dining. So now we're used to like, oh, we can go down to Disney and stay at Yacht Club for like $4,000 or $5,000 and get free dining. And then when you see normal rates with normal dining, you're like, whoa, that's what it costs.
Exactly. I know. I mean, the dining plan, what I tell people is, if you're going to use all the credits and you use them to your advantage, the dining plan, even at rack rate, you'll come out slightly ahead. And I like the prepaid aspect of it. I'm a big fan of cruising because I like getting on the ship. I don't like looking at pricing and stuff. That's just me. Because if I, when I'm paying for my food out of pocket, it's just subconsciously I'll order something that's cheap on the menu every time. Like I'm just, I'm cheap that way. Like, so I try to avoid that, but you got to make sure you use everything. But I think it's an interesting package. I'm glad that Disney puts it out there, but it's very rigid. But I mean, if you're going to do it, have fun.
Yep. And one last thing. So we're going down in a couple of weeks and staying at the yacht club. And we're going to do Galaxy's Edge early, like one of the early mornings. And I've seen people, and I don't know if it was just the first day hype, we're there at like 4 o'clock in the morning and there were still crazy lines. If it opens up at 6 and we could walk over, do you think probably like 5 o'clock, 5:15 would be a good time to get in there if we wanted to get like be within the first crowds?
Yeah, that's, I would say, you know, if this was me and I'm going down, like I said, at the end of September, but I'm staying at Pop Century because I want, I'm checking in on the 28th, the day the gondola is open, just so I can get a, I want to be a first day rider of the gondolas at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just to say, watch, there'll be a big storm all day long. They won't open. This is how it always goes for me. So if it happens, I apologize to everybody listening to the show. But yeah, I would probably, again, it's hard to say, you know, the first day, obviously the first week and with the holiday, you know, Labor Day, but then you got the hurricane going on. It's so, I don't know what to expect because like, is it more crazy because people are trying to do it before the hurricane and leave? Is it, you know, lighter because people have already decided not to come down? But I, you know, if it were me and I was staying at Yacht Club, and again, I'm an early person. I like to be early rather than late. I'd probably walk out of the room, say at 4:45 and start walking over because then you'd be there by like 5:10, probably 5:05, 5:10, 5:15, kind of go. Now, the one thing I've heard, even on the day that it opened, was that security was still a breeze. They've redone that entrance so well that they can push people through like nobody's business. So it doesn't bog down as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I saw the people recently, they were going and there was probably like as many people walking down the hallway as there were cast members. So they've definitely really stepped their game up.
They have. They, I mean, they've been, you know, I think that, I mean, I think it's good. You know, what happened in California this summer was unexpected. I think they were expecting the masses to descend and it was going to be utter chaos.
Yep.
It was crazy. And it turned out being the opposite because I think everybody thought it was going to be that way. And everybody said, I'll just wait till it dies down. And collectively, everybody thought that. So that kept the crowds low. I don't think that's going to happen this fall down at Walt Disney World. I think the word's out. People are going to want to experience it. And, you know, I scheduled a trip just to go down and see it myself. So we'll see how it goes.
No, it should be awesome. And hey, I appreciate the time tonight.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in. I'll talk to you soon. You have a great trip if I don't talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Mike. You too.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye.
All righty. Great calls tonight. Thank you to everybody who's calling in. 407-413-9395. Phone lines are open right now. 407-413-9395. I want to let you know that Ricky and I are on Wedway Radio this week talking about all the D23 announcements. It is a long, long show. So it's good for at least a couple of commutes. And thanks to Matt Parrish for having us on. All right, next caller's on the line. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, this is Rachel.
Rachel, how's
it going?
I'm
your neighbor here in St. Peter's.
Oh, whoa, you're calling from inside the city of St. Peter's. I love it out here. It's God's country. Oh, my gosh. It is so awesome.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful place to live.
just so you know, I live 0.7 miles from the Chick-fil-A. And just right down from the Raising Cane's. Oh,
I am
dangerous.
Right off Mid Rivers too. I know right where you're at.
Right behind the Gold's Gym. No. So how you doing? What are you going to talk about tonight?
We are leaving for Disney in a couple weeks. And it's the first time for me to, I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old and 2 little boys and my husband. And my main question is we fly in on a Wednesday. We get there at 1. We have Ohana at 4. And I'm trying to figure out what that arrival day should look like. Initially, I was thinking we would spend some time at Disney Springs. We would maybe after dinner, since our dinner's so early, maybe take a boat over to Port Orleans and try some beignets. Or I know Trader Sam's Grotto. But I know you have to be there before 8 if you have kids. So I just thought I would reach out and see if you had some thoughts of what that arrival day should look like for us.
So have you ever been to Ohana before?
I haven't, but I've heard great things.
It is great. But let me tell you, you're going to be hurting when you leave that place. It is so,
okay.
I have no discipline. You know, I run a bajillion miles a day and then I eat twice as much, you know, as I probably should. And it's so good. It's kind of like Toscano's. If you've ever been like to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, we went there last night.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like they have the little red and the green little thing you put on your table. And if you turn it red, they stop bringing you food. They don't have that there. They just keep bringing it. And it's so good. So I need discipline because every time I leave there, I feel like I can't walk. And, you know, it's right next to the Magic Kingdom. So usually we have annual passes. So we'll drop in and ride a couple of, you know, we'll do like Carousel of Progress or, you know, Pirates. I'm not doing anything that's going to stir me up.
Yeah.
But I love your idea, though. 4 o'clock dinner at Ohana. You know, you get there, you get to kind of kick it off, have a good meal. It's a fun experience. Going to the Polynesian is always great. I do like the idea of maybe going over because by then there'll be a bus to Disney Springs. And then what I would do is take a boat from Disney Springs after you go through and have fun there.
Mm-hmm.
Take a boat to Port Orleans, either French Quarter or Riverside, French Quarter, get the beignets. Or you could go to Riverside has some really good desserts too, though, and either one. Just kind of explore the resort because after dark, it's beautiful at those resorts. And then you could like Uber back to your hotel or what have you.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a great first night. And then wait, I would, you know, with the kids that age, I wouldn't stay up too late. That way the next morning you can rope drop and be ready to go.
Extra magic hours the next morning. So,
you're trying that with those kids 6 a.m.?
I am. It's our first day at Magic Kingdom. Well, no. So Magic Kingdom is at 7. So our first day, extra magic hours will be there. But our second day is at Hollywood Studios. So I am a little nervous about trying to do an early morning both days. But we'll take breaks in the afternoon and try to make it work.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I think, you know, you said you have two boys. And they're the perfect age for Walt Disney World. 7 and 4 is just, I mean, really, you can't ask for a better age to really explore. But, you know, it's just like, to me, I mean, I'm a morning person. I get up every morning, 4:45, get out of bed, get my sneakers on, get out there, get running, get the day started. That's me. I'm up way before the sun rises.
Yeah.
But man, when I think of a 6 a.m. extra magic hour, considering the travel times.
Do you think we need
times,
to be there? We need to be there at 6? I mean, we're going, so the 19th, the 20th will be our Hollywood Studios day. I was hoping that by then we might, and we do have a Oga's Cantina reservation for later in the morning. So we're definitely going to make it into the land. But do you think we need to be there by 6 just to get on the ride?
I would say no. I mean, here's the thing. Again, it's one of those things. It's a typical Disney problem is that if you get there at rope drop, you know, or 6 a.m. in this case, you're going to be able to knock out the whole land very quickly because there's not going to be the crowds you're going to have, say, at 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 or noon.
Right.
You know, noon, everybody's going to be there and their brother. So you can really get a lot done and save that time later. But if you can get into Oga's and you're guaranteed into the land, man, that's a tough call because you may be waiting 2 hours for Smuggler's Run.
Hmm.
What time's Olga's? Like 10 or 11?
I think 10:30.
Yeah, you may be. It's one of those things, though, because if you get there at 6 and you're exploring the land, I mean, that's still a long time till 10:30. I mean, without rides, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're at the Magic Kingdom, you have a ride around every corner. But, I mean, if you're at the studios, I guess you could go. Because you could go into Toy Story Land as well. Yeah, Slinky Dog, Alien Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania. That might work. But, I mean, God, it's going to be hard getting those kids up. I just know because I've had two kids. And it was,
especially after fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you better start conditioning them now. Like, poke them tomorrow morning, poke them like at 4:30 and just see how they react.
Get up. Well, and we have the time change, too, so it'll be an hour earlier.
Oh, man. The cards are stacked against you.
I know.
You know what?
But I'm determined.
But the thing is, my one kid has graduated college. The other one is in sixth grade. So and I'm not the world's best parent. I know that. I try to learn every day how to do this thing. But, you know, like you can read them. Like if you know it is not happening, don't melt down. Don't worry. Like if we can't be there at 6 a.m. and we have to go at 10:30 and go into Oga's, you know what? It's better to do that than to have the meltdown on vacation and wait 2 hours because, you know, you can pull out a phone or, you know, what have you. You can play the heads up game on like your cell phone or something while you're waiting in line. And there's a lot to see, too. So, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if you don't make it till 6 a.m., especially if you're staying up for fireworks. That's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround. But they're everybody's so excited. So at that point, we may be just running on adrenaline.
That's true. Let's hope. Yeah, I'm going down the 28th, and that's my plan. But, man, I don't know if I can even do it myself. That's rough.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we have an off day a couple days in. Well, I guess our third day in. So we'll have a day just to kind of hang out. So hopefully that'll be a recharge day to get back into it.
So where are you guys staying?
Pop Century.
Oh, that's where I'm staying too. Yeah, they're going to love it. So yeah, you're going to have a good time. You're definitely going to need a down day though, because the kids are going to get, they're going to get whooped. So are you.
Yeah, of course.
Disney tired is real. Like I get tired at home, but I get so tired down there after about three or four days.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the advice. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Well, hey, you guys have a great trip.
Let me ask you.
Okay.
So do you think, is Trader Sam's worth trying to squeeze in?
Trader Sam's.
That's at Polynesian, right?
Yes,
that
it is.
That is at Polynesian.
Yes. And so how big of a Disney fan are you? Like,
we've watched all of the movies in the last 6 months to prepare them.
Okay, that's good, because I don't even watch the movies. That's good. Okay, you're better. Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing about Trader Sam's. It is like, it's such a unique experience. And, for somebody that likes like the Tiki Room or like, I'm a big fan of Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom. It is like sitting in an interactive Adventureland bar, little lounge. There's little tricks that happen when people order drinks. The bartenders do certain things and the lights will change and there'll be storms. And it's a really cool place. Do you have to go there? No, because the thing is, it's really small. And sometimes you have to work to get in there. Sometimes you have to wait. You know, they'll put you on a wait list and it might be 90 minutes until you can get into the actual inside.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
it's one of those things. Go past it. And if you can get in right away, boom, it's really, really cool. But again, I wouldn't wait 90 minutes because I don't think it's all that, because it's small. I mean, sometimes you do have to work to get in.
Okay, great.
So
good to know. Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
well, hey,
it.
Neighbor, have a good trip.
Maybe I'll run into you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you'll see me up going down Mid Rivers Mall. I do it every Monday night to get Taco Bell. All right. Well, you take care. Good talking to you. Have a great trip.
Too.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Right, bye.
All right, we have time. Look at that. Calling from St. Peter's, Missouri, with the new home of the BR Guest Podcast Studios. All right, we have time for one more call here as we've been having fun here talking Disney. I love this, and hopefully you're enjoying this as well. It's kind of a weird week with the holidays, so we had to kind of switch things up, but never want to leave you without a podcast. Always want to have fun Disney talk for your commutes and for your runs and for your walking the dog and doing dishes. So thank you so much for always sticking with us for the last 11 years and love talking Disney with you. So again, we'll take one more call, 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. And as we wait and leave those phone lines open for a few more minutes, I do want to remind you that, here's our call. So let's get this call in and then I'll remind you in just a second. All right, last call of the day. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, Mike, it's Marlessa. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? So good to talk to you.
Good. Good. Snuck in as the last call.
There you go. So what's going
on?
So
I just had my 180-day mark yesterday, so I have Disney food on the brain. So I have a quick, what I think, fun foodie question for you, two quick questions. So one is, what's a restaurant on property that you have not been to that is at the top of your list to try? And the other question would be, is there a type of restaurant you'd love to see at Disney that's not there currently?
So let me go with the second question. Since Ricky's not here, I'm going to steal hers, because I hate to say this, but Ricky is 100% right on this one. She says this all the time. Walt Disney World needs a 24-hour diner. Like, typical American diner experience. And really, I mean, I know it sounds weird to say like a 24-hour diner, but I am not kidding. Like, if that thing was open 24 hours, I don't want a Denny's or a Waffle House, but I want like a fancy like Denny's or Waffle House, pancakes, sausage, biscuits, all that stuff around the clock, breakfast served all day, all night. I think that would be a huge hit. For one, I think that, I think a lot of Americans, I don't know about folks outside the country, but I think we really do crave sometimes breakfast for dinner. And
oh yeah, definitely.
Well, here's what I'm thinking too, because I used to work in the wedding industry. So I would DJ a wedding reception every Saturday night, usually from like 8 o'clock until midnight. The reception would go. I'd have to pack up and head home. I'd be driving home about 1:30 in the morning from work. And I was always starving because I've been working since like six. I think about how many cast members are at Walt Disney World. You know, like at 3 a.m, the cast members would be tearing. I think it'd be a gold mine. So I would love to see a diner. What about you? What's missing? What would you put?
What's funny is the first time Ricky said that, I had the same reaction. Oh no, that's such a good idea. She has the best idea. I'm here in New York City, and we have like brunch places that are, you know, have brunch until like 5 p.m. or sometimes all day because people just love it. But I think aside from that, I really like Thai food or Vietnamese food. So I don't know where that would, maybe Disney Springs, somewhere like that. But that would be cool just to, you know, have another type of ethnic food represented. That's my go-to answer. But Ricky probably still wins out with the diner idea.
Yeah, I think the diner would have more mass appeal. But I think Walt Disney World's the perfect place for somebody. You know, you're in New York City, so it's obviously probably the most cosmopolitan place, at least one of them, in the world. You know, so you have that opportunity. You know, we're not like we're in the sticks. I'm in St. Louis. We do have Thai restaurants, Indian restaurants, and so forth. But I'll tell you what, it's just somebody who, you know, I've grown up my entire life in the suburbs. We tend to go to the chain places all the time, you know, like I don't like it. But you know, when I'm at Walt Disney World, I'll try something that's French or I'll try something from Morocco. I wouldn't do that at home. So yeah, you're right. If they had some kind of a hook like that, that'd be a good like introduction for people like me into that kind of cuisine.
Oh yeah. And that's something that's great about Disney, I think too, is that I think people say all the time, you know, that, you know, they try foods at Disney that they might not normally try, you know, like the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, like maybe in their hometown, even if they have those foods, they wouldn't go for, I don't know, the French restaurant or even the German restaurant or sushi. But then they're like, oh, I'm at Disney. It has to be good. You have that like magical Disney feel, like how Mickey waffles taste better on property, mm-hmm. which they really do. I've made them at home. They still taste better there.
Well, because you have to do all the work. Like I have the thing that like it's like a sandwich closer and you make the waffles like I get at Walmart or something. And they're okay. But they're better at Walt Disney World. Somebody's bringing them to me already made and they're sitting there. I can just grab them. So the second part of your question though, California Grill, I've never eaten there. I'm just kind of a tightwad. I know it's expensive, but I would like the experience of kind of seeing the fireworks show. I have been up there. I've been there for a couple of private events, but never for dinner or a meal. So that'd probably be my place. I've never been. What about you? Where's your go-to place you're still looking for?
I was actually going to say Cali Grill, Mike.
We're on the same wavelength right there.
I was thinking about it because I have that reserved for our next trip because the Contemporary Resort was the first resort I ever stayed at as a kid. I always, you know, think fondly of it, even though I honestly haven't stayed there since I was a kid. So I'm kind of excited to go back there. And, you know, people always say the food is great. And then they have that little, I think, terrace area outside that you can apparently go to even hours after your dining reservation. So I'm excited about that. This is going to be my first time be our guest too. Like just to kind of see that atmosphere should be really cool.
That is cool. You're going to love it because, you know, that's one of the movies I have seen. I know everybody gets on me because I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I've seen Beauty and the Beast a bunch of times.
I know. As a movie nerd, you're always breaking my heart.
I'm sorry. But that one, I'm not kidding. Like, they nailed it. Like, when you're inside that restaurant, it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know. If you get one of the seats, we sat at a table one time next to one of the windows, and it was actually snowing outside in July. It was
perfect.
Just so cool. I was like, this is just so cool. Only Disney can do this. Tim is in our live chat, always there with us. He's saying Victoria and Albert's. Now, I would like to try that, but I'm worried that I kind of feel this way on cruises too, a little bit, but cruises are kind of a little bit more casual. I feel like I don't know enough to not stick out like a sore thumb at a place like Victoria and Albert's. You know, it might be too fancy for Mike Rallman. I don't know.
Hashtag too fancy for Mike.
Probably, I'm sure. You know, I'm a Taco Bell kind of guy, so who knows?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, hey.
They're building a Taco Bell. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Were they building one?
They're They're building a Taco Bell near me, and I don't eat there. But I was like, oh, Mike Rollman would be proud. Oh,
well, it's because I watch sports, and they have commercials on every 15 minutes. You know, it's like they get you. Like I had a Pizza Hut last night because that's every commercial during football was Pizza Hut. So that's what I have for dinner. I'm a sucker. It doesn't take much. And I'll tell you what, they always show a lot of Disney commercials on the stuff I watch, too, because I watch ESPN. So here I am talking Disney. They've got me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I work in TV. They're targeting you. I'm telling you. They're targeting you.
They're as bad as Facebook and Amazon, man. They've got me. Well, hey, it's so good to talk to you. Call in next time we have a show. And if I don't talk to you, you have a great trip. You still got 6 months, so we'll talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great calls. We had a lot of fun talking Disney, all kinds of topics, Galaxy's Edge. I'm so excited. I didn't get a chance to drop in. I will be down September 28th to October 2nd. I'm going down for the last Illuminations and for the first Epcot Forever. I'm going to be there as the Skyliner debut, staying at Pop Century. So if you're down there, let me know. And we'll have to say hello and, you know, maybe watch Illuminations, get a group together to watch the last Illuminations, shed a tear together, and then see this new Epcot Forever show, which I am so pumped to see. I can't wait to hear the music. Excited for that. Well, thank you so much again for being a part of the show. Thank you for sticking with us here on a Friday. I know it's a little bit different show. We'll have Pam and Ricky back to talk Disney as we do, but it's been a weird week with the Labor Day holiday on our recording day, so I wanted to get something out for you here. And it's fun to hear from our audience. This is what it's all about. The show's about you, and we got to talk about what you wanted to talk about. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel, so when you're ready to head to your next Disney destination, work with the great team over at the Magic for Less. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. And they do it every day, all day, and they take care of every guest. You know, this hurricane's been going on. The agents have been working tirelessly to make sure every guest is covered, everything is taken care of. So check them out today. Check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out the free no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, as you do that online shopping on Amazon, we just talked about it. Use our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right, give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike and at beourguestpod. And of course, we have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We are going to be back again on Monday with a great trip report, as we do. But until then, we're going to have a great weekend. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.